Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of the sweetest name I know, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the hand and lifted him, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! All the people saw him walking and praising God, and then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look at us so intently, as though by our own power or godliness, we made this man walk?" Father, I pray that you would anoint me as your speaker this morning to deliver, Lord, not a sermon, but a message, Lord, to this church. Make this church a place that is dangerous for the encampment of the enemy. Lord, we take back, Lord, what he has stolen from this community, from families, from churches. Lord, we become dangerous through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Now let your words, Lord, penetrate our hearts in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We're going to wrap up a series today. A series called Dangerous Church. And my title this morning of this message, I felt important to share with you, because my title is this: I used to be, but not anymore. I used to be, but not anymore. You see, the most common testimony from people in a dangerous church is this: I used to be, but not anymore. That's the testimony of people who have been to the house of God, where you say, I don't deny what was wrong with me. I don't deny that I've had my issues in the past, but I need to update the file this morning, because that is what I used to be. I used to be lame. I used to be depressed. I used to be relationally poor and spiritually weak, but that's what I used to be, but not anymore. If you've ever found yourself there and God has changed you, you will feel at home in a dangerous church. Now, I would really like to have some help preaching this morning, because it will certainly go a whole lot quicker. You volunteer? Thank you, my brother. I got you. I can hear you from there, I promise you. And if Hester gets fired up, we just all better look out, all right? I grew up in church. Every Sunday I sat in the pews. I was always around people in ministry settings. My dad would always take me to the nursing homes for ministry. We'd go to convalescent centers that were places like state school, where handicap where we would minister to the Lord, knowing that many of them didn't even know what we were saying, but yet we ministered. And there was always compassion and love that we exhibited to those folks. And there was a gentleman in our church, he was an older man, and every time that we would walk up, every time we came to church, even as a young boy, I would always try to be friendly, and I'd say, "Hey, how you doing, Brother E?" And he would always begin with, "Well, not very good. Not kicking very high today." And then I would have to spend the next 15 minutes getting a medical report of all the things that were wrong with him. And then really, one day, he really got sick. He really got sick. It was a sad thing. Let me just tell you, you know, being sick is not enjoyable. Being down and being broke and being under the gun and being under pressure, that's not fun at all. And see, I don't think that God gets all the glory from all of that. I believe God gets more glory out of me being well, out of me being prosperous, out of me being successful. I believe that God gets more glory out of lifting me up than seeing how long I can hold my breath to survive. God receives glory when He raises people up from one state to the next. The Bible says He moves us from glory to glory. You should always find love in a church. But in a dangerous church, you should find the change of a testimony. You should find power in a dangerous church. The reality is this morning, and I want you to all be aware of this. The reality is that some of you have come to church today with critical issues in your life. And we've not gathered here to waste anyone's time. You see, we've gathered here at Journey Fellowship Church with a purpose in mind. We didn't come to show off our new outfits that we still haven't got to show everybody that we got for Christmas. We didn't come to let everybody see the new hairstyle that we went and got the hairdresser put on top of our head. We didn't come for those reasons. The vast majority did not come to church for that reason at all. They didn't come to impress anybody. I didn't come here to impress you with my oratory skills or my singing prowess. I came here to impress Jesus this morning. I came here to have to sing and to preach to an audience of one, not to you, just to let you be a part of what I know the Lord has laid in my life this week. I want to share that with you. That's why I'm here. We have come here today because we believe that there is healing, that there is truth, that there is restoration that can be found in this house. I don't have time to go to a church that has no life. I don't have time to go to a church that talks about power but never shows it. I don't have time to go to a church that waters down the truth so that they can garner a crowd. I don't have time for all of that. Millions of people every week go to those types of places. May God speak to them in those dry, arid places, because they've been trained to believe that 1 hour on Sunday is like paying a debt to God. It's like paying a bill and checking a box. It's like roll call being made in heaven, and they just want to make sure that their name gets heard by the Lord to make sure they're marked present the end of the week or the beginning of the week, whatever you see it as, that I've been in church this week. Let me tell you something. The church is a place to be, is a place that is to be, regardless of your condition, regardless of your issues, regardless of what you're going through, of when you leave that meeting, you can say, "I used to be, but I'm not anymore." A dangerous place where your life could be changed. A dangerous place where sin is in danger of being put away. Where sickness is in danger of being canceled out. Where the devil has to relinquish his power and authority because he has been rebuked. That is a dangerous church. Peter and John in this story, and a layman, three of them, they're on their way to an appointment. they have a meeting. The Bible says that not only Peter and John were on their way to the temple, but there was another individual who was on his way to the temple. Peter and John, these two men, were going to the temple, and this man, lame man, was going to the temple during an incredible time of church transition. The New Testament church was seeking to figure out how to move from this Old Testament style of rituals and feasts and traditions, and they were trying to grapple with this New Testament idea of the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. It was tremendous transition inside the church. There were intense discussions in the religious community of what we are going to do with this idea that God is doing something different. I have no trouble conversing with tough people, from bikers to rough, rusty old cowboys to construction workers. And the reason why is because I've been in a few church business meetings in my life. Bless God, I'm not scared of anything. I know what can happen when the church begins to discuss amongst itself. So Peter and John, keeping their appointment, knowing what they are walking into. Remember, these were the men who had spent 3 years with Jesus. They've seen miracle after miracle. They've heard teaching that has blown the top of their heads off. They have come from an upper room experience where they were enabled with the power of the Holy Spirit to speak in languages that neither of these fishermen had ever studied. They were performing supernatural things. Things were happening in their life that they could not explain, but they continued to move to the same traditions and rituals that they had always. These disciplines that they had been taught all of their life as children, they moved to the temple. Because three times a day, the temple was offering sacrifices. Prayer meetings were occurring. And these men were still focused upon the things of God, doing the things that they knew to do. People have asked me, Pastor, I don't know what the will of God is. And I said, what's the last thing He told you to do? Then keep doing that. If you've ever wondered why God uses some people, here's your answer. Have you ever tried to steer a car sitting still with the engine off? You ever tried to turn the steering wheel on a big old truck that's turned off? You know what I've found? I've found that it's easier for the Lord to direct your life when you're moving forward than it is when you're just sitting still waiting for Him to tell you something. When you're involved, already doing something. It may not be exactly what you know that you're supposed to, but you're doing something. And that's when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, you know what? You're moving down the road. Let me give you a little different direction. Let me give you some truth. Let me give you some wisdom to follow. And the Lord begins to, they were always, Peter and John, about the Master's business. They were taking care of business. No matter what day it was, what time of the year, it was time to go to prayer. But they weren't the only ones that were making a visit to the temple that day. There was a lame man that was going the same day. You see, he didn't walk to the temple that day. He was carried. He was carried to the temple. He was set next to a very, very busy gate. Now, I want you to catch this. Most people emphasize the gate that was beautiful. It was beautiful. And one reason and consequence that the gate was so beautiful is it was frequently used. It was a busy, busy place. People came in, people went out. It was an active center of humanity. And because of the great transition that was occurring in the church, even more people were there because of all of the discussions that this new influx of Jesus theology was beginning to take hold, and the city was a little bit unnerved. They were upset. Jesus followers were actually impacting their community in such a way it caused a stir in the city. This new movement didn't even have a name yet. They didn't even know what to call them. They didn't know what to say about them. But they would come to the temple and they would discuss these philosophical, theological issues. Now here's what I want you to see. Peter and John were on their way maybe to have one of those discussions. But this lame man, he wasn't a prophet. He wasn't the son of a prophet. He wasn't a theologian nor the son of a theologian. He didn't have a D, man. He didn't have anything behind his name. But he came to the temple. He came to church regardless. He wasn't looking to engage into that religious discussion. He didn't have anything to add that had not already been said. He came because he had a problem. Now hear me. Isn't it funny that the people who have the answer to the problem can get preoccupied with coming to church and arguing or thinking about church issues when they fail to realize that there are people still coming to church that have problems? While the church was arguing with itself, there sitting close by at a busy gate, sat a man with an incredible need in his life. It's like some people that show up to church, they just want to know if they're in the right place. Is this a place where I can encounter God? Is this a place where you're not just going to talk over my head, this spiritualese, where you're not just going to talk about things that can't relate to me? Is this a place where the God that you teach about, that you preach about, is present and He is able to meet my need? This man was lame. He didn't walk. He was carried everywhere he went and he was laid down. Actually, when this man came to the temple that day, he didn't come to be healed. He came to beg. Bible says he didn't show up and start asking for someone to heal him. He came to beg. He had had this problem so long, his condition was so overwhelming that, my friends, he got used to it. He got used to being a lame man. He had long since given up on the idea that he would ever walk to the temple. What is it like when you've had a condition in your life so long that you begin to adjust your life to that condition? Come on, I'm preaching to somebody now. You've had this issue for so long that you just adjust your life to that issue. It's like great composers that I studied years ago. Some of these men that were the greatest composers of all time couldn't see their hand in front of their face. But what happened is their ears became so attuned, and their ears began to make up for what their eyes could not do. And the other parts of their body began to compensate for the areas in their life that were broken. You see, that goes into real life, because there is a vast difference between counseling a woman who has been sheltered in a strong, godly marriage all of her life and a woman who is trying to raise 3 kids on her own. Now hear me. There is a huge difference, because that single mom who is by herself has built up a certain toughness in her life. She has built up strength and some hardness. Not that she wanted to be that way, but because life has forced her to do things that she did not plan on trying to have to do. Now some of you understand what I'm talking about this morning. You work all day long, and when 5 o'clock hits, you stop by at the grocery store and you pick up groceries, and then you go from the grocery store to your house and you unload those groceries. Then you put them groceries on the counter and you fix dinner for your kids. And as your kids are trying to eat, you're working homework with them and making sure the laundry's done. And then you go to bed and you wake up and you do it all over again. You see, you begin to compensate. You have to do things that you didn't plan on ever having to do. But you begin to build up strengths that support your life without you realizing it. Your issue, your lameness, your brokenness becomes an institution in your life. It settles in to function as something that has always been and will always be. No longer are you asking to be healed. It's, I'm used to this and I need to learn to cope and make the best. Bible says this lame man was lame since his mother's womb. And he had developed this system all around his life to support that problem that he had. You see, he sat all day, every day, the Bible says, at the gate called Beautiful, while religious people, while church people passed him by. And no one, it's amazing, no one offered healing to this man. And I asked myself, Lord, why? It was either because they didn't have the power, or they didn't have the compassion, or they just didn't care at all. But no one offered healing. And so when that offering of healing never changed, when that life change never was available, what did he do? He started bringing a cup. And he held the cup out, hoping for a few coins to get tossed into the cup. Here's the truth that I want you to see. The issue that he had in his feet, in his ankles, had moved into the other parts of his life. You see, he had an economic condition that had nothing to do with the original problem that he had in the first place. The economy was great, but his ankles were bad. And it resulted in him having to beg at the temple. Here's what I want you to see. Sometimes the issues in your life have a way of eating through the walls into other compartments of your life. And before you know it, the problem that you have here is now the problem here and the problem here. It's all over your life. It eats its way through. If you look at your life and you don't take care of your body, you don't take care of that diabetic problem that you have, guess what? Your heart is going to have issues if you don't deal with that issue, because it will work its way through your system. If you don't deal with that small problem of morality, it will eat itself through into other parts of your life until one day you wake up and you say, I'm doing things that I never thought I would do, because that little immoral problem that sat in the corner for so long has now invaded the other rooms of your house. Man, I'm preaching. His condition, this man's lameness, his condition became an epidemic in his life. It filled everything about him, his finances, his relationships, his spiritual health. And here's something else I want you to see, as the Lord just revealed this to me. Those people who were closest to him, who carried him to the gate, to the temple, to church daily, those people were most likely compensated for that assistance. It's sad when you see people who capitalize off of other individuals' problems. You see it all the time in our world. People who are capitalizing off of your problem. Let me just give you a warning right now. Not everybody in your life wants you to get better. Not everybody in your life wants to see you delivered and free from that addiction that you have that they know about. They had just assumed you stay where you are and beg, because if you were ever changed, it would disrupt their compensation. It would disrupt their life. It would have an effect on what they do. Are you hearing me this morning? Not everybody that's close to you wants the best for you. Amen. I don't want to be around anybody who doesn't want what's best for me. I want to be around the group of people who want to see my life changed and changed for the good. I want to be around the group of people who are a little bit dangerous for me to stay where I am. I want to be around the type of people who are going to push me to grow, who are going to push me to know, who are going to push me to seek and to be something that I'm not right now, but they see in me that I have the potential to be something better. That's a dangerous church. That's a church that impacts people. That's a group of people who makes changes. They're concerned about you changing and being better, regardless of how it affects their life. Let me ask you a question. Who are the people in your life that keep carrying you back to the same place in your heart that you're trying to get away from? Are you hearing me? Who's taking you back and setting you down at the gate and turning you back into a beggar that you really want to get away from, but you allow them to take you back there? Come on, somebody. Hear me. I'm speaking truth to somebody right now. It's time to move on from those people who are setting you down and allowing you to beg. In the middle of this religious traffic, nobody even sees him. And if they do, the only thing that they can do is throw some money at his problem. We live in America where everybody thinks money solves it all. People are poor. What do we got to do? Throw another million at them. Families are broken. Throw another million at them. There are some things that George Washington cannot fix, friends. There are things in our culture that cannot be changed by the greenback or a bank account or a donation or a charity that's given so that makes everybody given feel better. There are some things that can only be changed by the work and the power of God. In our culture, we so need a church who is insistent that, yes, we will act with compassion. We will give. We will help children like our church is doing. This past week, our church bought socks for an elementary school because we found out through the grapevine that there were kids walking to school and home in 25-degree weather, no socks on. And I said, that will not stand. Journey Fellowship, you bought socks for some kids this week and you didn't even know it. And you say, why do we give in the church? Because you didn't know about the need, but the church did. I heard about it. And because I say every week, may God bless you as you give, you're giving into ministry. You're not giving into my pocket. Come on. I ain't had a raise in 10 years and I ain't crying. You don't believe it? Go ask our treasurer. I'm not bucking for one. I'm saying I know where my treasure is. Peter and John are on their way. All this. And they're gearing up for this conversation that they're going to have. They're gearing up for this discussion. These religious leaders, they're going to have a religious conversation. They were ready. Their routine was planned out. They had an appointment at Solomon's Colonnade, which was the area that many of the new believers, these people that were followers of Jesus, they would come together and the Jews would surround them and they'd say, no, you're crazy. This doesn't mean this. How can the prophets? And they were ready for all of that. But what they didn't realize, what Peter and John did not realize, is that God was going to use them more in their going than on their arrival. Now, I want you to get this. Some of you need to know that there is more to your journey in this life than the destination that you have in mind. What I've found in my life is this. Most everything that I have ever learned about God, I've learned on the way to where I was supposed to be going. Can somebody amen that? Amen. Most of what I have found out about God hadn't come when I arrived at my destination. It came as I was making myself get on the way. You see, You're planning on trying to arrive at a place in your life. So many young people, you've got this destination in mind. But what God wants you to see is it's not about where you're trying to get to. It's about the process He's leading you through to get there. People ask, where did Journey ever come from? It wasn't the slick name that I came up with it or some new church or a new fad. It's when my wife and I looked at each other and they said, and we said, what is our life all about? We both almost at the same time looked at each other and said, it's a journey. It's a journey. While you are on your way to try to get where you think you have to be, where it's going to achieve something in your life, God is at work in you. What you think that you have that will put you over the top, to be honest, isn't really what it was supposed to be. It's not that important. It's the things that you're learning on the way before you even get there that make life so exceptional. Here's what I want you to understand. The greatest miracles that God usually perform are on the way before you receive that miracle that God said He's going to give to you. That's usually how it happens. Because you are walking on that journey and all of a sudden you forget about where you're trying to go and you're just asking the Lord to work through that day and that hour and that moment that you get the news that you weren't expecting to get. And all of a sudden God provides this miracle and you get strengthened in your journey and that strength helps you to prepare yourself for the destination that God wants to place you in. Peter and John, they were ready for church. They were ready for the discussion. They had their church smarts on. They were ready to go. But God had another appointment for them. They had everything prepared to happen on the inside. You see, they had that religious appointment, but they didn't know about the divine interruption that was going to occur on the way there. They had prepared for everything to happen in the house, but the miracle was going to happen at the gate. Let me preach. We think that everything has to happen in the house. A dangerous church is a church without geography. When I first moved here, I pastored a church that did not have a church. We were wherever we were. We moved a few times and I had people say, hey, the next time you move, would you just put the address out there so we'll know where you're going to be? And that was how I pastored. I was a church with no walls. I pastored in the mall. It was great because I pastored the whole mall. I'd walk by those vendors and those salespeople all day long and just say, hey, can I pray with you? Can I do anything for you? Can I ask, you know, what are you dealing with in your life? Last month, I had one of the men, he's a Sri Lankan Buddhist. He called me and he said, Pastor, would you pray for me? I said, what? How are you, Juwan? He said, please pray for me. I'm still a good Buddhist man, but I want you to pray. I said, well, if you ever get a hold of the God that I pray to, you won't be much of a good Buddhist anymore. Church with no walls, no geography, but they were planning on what was going to occur on the inside when the miracle was going to take place at the gate. Before you even got here, God might have had a miracle in store for you or somebody else before you even arrived this morning. And the purpose He brought you to Journey Fellowship was to tell the story of God's faithfulness and His goodness and His healing power, your life. Ooh. They had a big appointment. They didn't know it was with a joker who was sitting out front by a gate with a tin cup. They thought it was with the important people. Let me tell you, it's all about the journey. It's all about the journey. I used to not understand why some of the old timers in the church would sing that old song. Well, I just feel like traveling on. Yeah, some of you know that song. Some of you don't. Well, that song. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. got to make it to heaven somehow. I didn't understand it. I was a kid. But I've put enough miles on these feet to now I understand. It's not about just where I'm trying to get to. It's the journey the Lord has brought me through. It's that faithfulness that I've seen on a daily basis. It's the goodness of the Lord that has overflowed in my life. It's the blessing that I didn't even expect coming. It's the miracle that I didn't even know I was supposed to be praying for. It was that journey that I've been walking for years and for years that the Lord has said, I have been with you all along. You used to be that way, but look back, Scott, you're not that way anymore. Woo! It's about the journey. And on their way to get where they were going, they heard a cup rattling with some coins. People have passed by this man numbers of times with nothing to offer him except a condolence or a line of sympathy. But when he sees Peter and John, there's something different about these men. There's something different about those people who have had an upper room experience. There's something different about people who have experienced the power of God. And there is nothing, or no one, who can stop what God is doing in their life. Peter and John look at this man and they say this, look at us. And I love what the scripture says of this man, how he responded. The Bible says that he looked at them. He looked at them expecting to receive something. Look at it. Expecting to receive something. I really don't think that he was expecting to receive healing. I'm not sure if he even expected to get rich by a filled tin cup of silver and gold. The Bible says he expected something. If I have to go to a church, it's going to be a church where I know that I can go to and expect something. If I'm going to get up on a Sunday morning with the curtains closed and that bedroom dark just like I like it and it's cool and I'm comfy, if I'm going to get up and go to a church on Sunday morning after a full work week, tired as a dog, if I'm going to get up and put my shoes on and my pants on, I'm not going to a church where I can't expect something to happen in my life. I want to go to a place where at least I know. I don't know what it might be, but there's going to be something going to happen in my life. Come on, somebody. It may not be for me that day. It may not be for my family that day. It may not be for anybody that I know that day. But I do know that when I show up, there's going to be a God that's going to show me something. And I believe that that's the kind of church that God wants us to be a part of. When you show up, there's something going to happen. Woo! That's the type of church I want to be a part of. Silver and gold I don't have, he says. There are two things that are necessary for a dangerous church to fulfill the work of the ministry. For years I've thought about this. Two things that you have to know if you want to be a dangerous church. Number one, you have to know what you don't have. And number two, you have to know what you do have. Peter and John were clear on both of them. You cannot help people until you first do an assessment in your life. You cannot give away what you don't have. It's as simple as that. You cannot give away something you don't have. Silver and gold, we don't have it. We don't have what other churches might offer. Come on. We don't have some of those things. Bless God if we ever get some. That's okay if it's all right. It's okay if the church changes a little bit, paints the wall. I don't know what we're going to do. Methods are no big deal. We don't have some of those things right now. But let me tell you something, friends. This is what I know that we do have. We have a place where you can come here, truth, where you can see people delivered and touched and saved and feel. That's what we have. And I will not apologize or duck my head 1 minute when people call me on the phone. Throughout the week, 4 phone calls this week. Are you a Spirit-filled church? Why, yes, ma'am, we are. We don't have that silver and gold, but what we do have. Daniel, why don't you come back on up here? You see, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I'm going to speak. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I've looked at that passage. I've read it a million times if I've read it once. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, they address this man who's sitting there. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's what they say. I noticed 2 things. They didn't pray for him. You see, when you're praying for somebody, you're usually talking to God about them. They didn't say, Lord, you see this poor crippled man. You see this man who's laying here right at the gate, beautiful. He is sitting here. He's been here. God knew all that. God knew exactly where he was. He knew what his need was. God had been with him through his whole life of brokenness, of lameness that he had carried since his mother gave birth to him. God knew that. They did not pray for him. That is a shocker for me. They didn't preach to him either. They didn't start giving him the Romans road or try to lead him to some theological conclusion. They didn't preach to him. When I went to Liberia about 4 or 5 years ago, they didn't need me to come over there and preach to them. Some of them Liberian pastors could preach circles around me 3 times a day, all day long. They didn't need somebody to come preach. What they needed was a church. We were meeting underneath a tree. And so that's what we gave them. We built a school and 2 churches. That's what we gave them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to follow me here because this is going to be life-changing for some of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What did they do? What was so incredible about? What was the difference? What made the difference? Here's the difference. They spoke to a lame man, a direct challenge to his life. They spoke and addressed his need head on. They didn't say we need to pray about it, go class about it, preach about it, teach about it. They spoke to his need. God is always asking people to do things that they cannot do. The miracle was the challenge that God gave. He was telling this man to do something that you cannot do. God, I can't do that. I'm lame. Can't you not see? Give me a dangerous church that challenges me to be something that I'm not already. Come on. Give me a church that speaks to me something that I don't already know, that I can't already do. Deliver me from any church of low expectations for my life. The reason we have immature Christians is because the church has been expecting much from the people of God. Boy, I'm preaching now.
Yes, you are.
We've stopped thinking that we can actually overcome the world by the word of the Lamb or the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We've quit believing that. We forgot that He would baptize us with power to be witness. We forgot it. And so the church has produced low expectation, high maintenance Christians. The layman says, Peter, you're expecting me to do something that I've never done before. And herein lies the markings of a real encounter with God. Hear me. This is when you know you have had an encounter with God, when God challenges the dysfunctional to become functional. When He challenges you to transform into something that previously you were not. When He challenges you to do something that previously you could not do before. To have something you have never had. That is a true encounter with God when He challenges you to be what you have never been. It may be simple for some people. It may be simple. Your miracle might be somebody else's normal. Now hear me. Can you just give me a little time this morning? I know you got an afternoon of busy things, but let me tell you something. Your simple may be, that simple miracle may be somebody else's normal. Lord, I've never had the Holy Spirit use me in that way. But the person down the road from you has always had the Holy Spirit been speaking and using him in that way. You might be 40 years old. And you got your first car. That thing's beat up, scratched up, ain't no hubcaps on it. It's barely, the tires are wiggling like this as you're driving down the road and you ain't got nothing but tears streaming down. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a car. And somebody else, 20 years old, done had a car for 20 years. But to you, that's a miracle. I'm preaching to somebody this morning because I want you to understand that I want you to be challenged. Because whenever we speak the name of Jesus, whenever we lift up the name of Jesus, the name, there is something about the name Jesus. Oh my God. There is something about the name of Jesus that every knee one day is going to bow. There is something about the name of Jesus. One church member told me one time, Pastor, you're way too evangelistic. You always preach about Jesus all the time. I said, guilty as charged. There is power in the name of Jesus, my friends. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whatever you do, do so in the name of Jesus. The Roman centurions would beat that church that was early. They said, you got to stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. It's disrupting the whole city. The normalcy of everything that we know is not happening anymore. This Jesus is changing lives. You got to quit. There's something about the name of Jesus that causes cancer to stop in its tracks. There's something about the name of Jesus that can calm your nerves at night when you know you've had a terrible week and you got something coming up the road tomorrow. There's something about the name of Jesus that will help you get a good night's rest that you haven't had in months. Something about the name of Jesus that'll take swelling out of sore joints that have been maimed and crippled for a long time. There's something about the name of Jesus that will bring those who have been lost for years and gone out into the world to come home. Something about that name. Take the fever out of your sick child's forehead in a moment. Something about the name of Jesus that can stop that car from plowing into you or causing you any harm. We had a family come to church Wednesday night who were in an accident and God protected them while allowing their car to be scratched up. There wasn't a scratch on any of them. When you don't know what to say, my friends, when you're at a hospital or a nursing home, you're up against the wall, you're at work, oh, just say it with me. Come on right now, everybody, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. Hallelujah. I got more, but I got to slow down and quit. I don't want to keep you here all day. some of you, it's your rise up and walk year. Don't spend the rest of 2018 sitting the same place by the gate that you set in on 2017. It's time to rise up. What's amazing is that Peter and John, the Bible says that when they spoke those words to him, they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He just sit there. He didn't do anything. And what they do, they reached out and they grabbed him and they began to pull him up. You know what a dangerous church is? A dangerous church is not a church that beats you down and tells you everything that's wrong with you and what you're not and what you're never going to be. A dangerous church says, I'm going to tell you the truth of Jesus and I'm going to give you a hand up. I'm going to raise you up. That's a dangerous church. That's the kind of church this is. Not good enough to tell you the truth and let you walk out the door. Bless God, I'm going to stick my hand down and say, come on, let's get up and walk. Let's go. Let's go. I close with this. Somewhere in between, reaching out that hand. Somewhere between this exchange and the moment he was standing, something happened. And I don't know when, but the Bible says that his ankles found strength. And somewhere in that rising up, in that lifting, stay standing. Something happened. And he dropped Peter and John's hand. You're going to have to give me some room. You're going to have to move out of the way just a bit because I'm fixing to cause a stir. I'm fixing to do something. Are you hearing me? I'm fixing to do something I ain't never done. Joy that I've had in my life that I've never experienced has just overflowed upon me, and I'm going to do something I've never tried before. Not only have I never stood before, but I'm going to try something. I may look a little silly. I may look a little funny. People may notice. There's something that's not just happened to my ankles and my feet. There's something that's happened to me. Because you see, listen, what I used to be, I used to be lame, but I'm not lame anymore. The Bible says that he went leaping. He went leaping into the temple. He passed by all those doubters that always just threw a few coins his way and hoped that things would just work out. He leaped past them. He went beyond their disapproval and their looking down the nose. He said, I've got something that I've just got to sing about. I got something that I got to just be joyful. I got something that I got to leap. I got to run. I got to be excited. God's done something in me. I used to be. The Bible says the people didn't even know what to call him. They called him the lame man. He didn't even have a name. But let me tell you something. After Jesus touched him, they didn't know what to call him anymore. I used to be the lame man, but I ain't that guy no more. I want you to stand with me in this house this morning. Okay, you and Bridget, y'all come back up here. Come on, Garrett, where are you? I was very convicted this past week for taking so long last Sunday. But I didn't know if it was the Holy Spirit or if it was the enemy's voice. Now, I understand we live in a culture that says church starts here and you got to check that box off so that people can get about their lives. I understand that. And please, I just want you to know this. We're going to have some time in the altar. If you have to leave, don't think pastor's going to think that I'm some reprobate heathen sinner. You might have a roast that's going to burn up. You better get home. But there are some people, like I said earlier, they didn't come here to check a box. They came here to hear the encountering challenge of an almighty God say, whatever you used to be, don't leave that house that way. I don't want you to get in a hurry. Now, here's what I am going to ask you to do. If you have children over in the kids area, if they're in preschool or elementary or the nursery, I want you to go and get your children. If you want to stay around, that's great. Go take care of your kid. Those are your kids. Come be a part of what an altar looks like. Are educated, smart folks. So I want you to just do what you feel like you need to do. But I want to say the altars are going to be open this morning. So for a formal dismissal, I'm going to pray and you can be dismissed. If you have to go, please don't think I'm going to think anything different. And if you come to the forward, I want you to begin to seek the Lord. We're going to sing this song. We're just going to worship Jesus. Father, I thank you for this dangerous church. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that I feel I know you've spoken to hearts today. Lord, we don't need just another word, something that we can just write down and take notes and forget in a week, Lord. We need a challenge, Lord, from you to be something that we were previously not. Lord, I pray that this morning that there would be those in this room today who have never understood the power of the inflowing and the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit to fall upon their life, to take their spiritual level from a C to an A, to move them from 65% to 165%. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would let them be challenged this morning to receive outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Those who were challenged to set aside their lameness and to not allow codependence to encourage their inabilities, but to take up the challenge that you have laid before them to be more than what they are. To give more, to do more, to say more, to speak more, to pray more. Help us to be those type of people. This is a dangerous church, Lord. Let it continue.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.